Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Greg Pickle. It's quarter number three, and that means it's time to ask Greg. This is the segment where we take your questions, and if you want to submit a question to Greg, go to our app, Keystone Sports. If you don't have it, just download it, Keystone Sports. That's all you got to search on. Download it, and there's a nice button there that says Ask Greg. You hit that button, you give us your question, and we'll read it on quarter number three when we have Greg in. So, Greg, you ready for the questions?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's start with Cliff from Vestal, New York, who said, do offensive coaches track completion percentages for various pass routes run by receivers? Do these stats then affect how they call plays during the game? In other words, I'm asking how elaborate and data-driven is play calling?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of everything, right? It's a little bit of art. It's a little bit of science. It's a little bit of statistics. I mean, yes, they track all kinds of different numbers, some of what, some, you know, and things, and what against a certain defense, which routes have the highest completion percentage and which this and which that and all and everything. And, you know, obviously they put as much of that information into a play call as possible. Sometimes that's, you know, really easy when you have plenty of time to leaf through the playbook. But if you're hustling up to the line of scrimmage, you know, and trying to get a look at your defense, depending on the down and distance, you know, you're not going to probably sit there and sift through, you know, whether or not a play is, you know, should we run this route because it has a 90% success rate or the 88 one, this other play's, you know, I don't know if it gets quite that in depth, but of course the playbook and everything is structured based on what is going to give you the best chance to win. And so there's certainly an aspect to that. There's no question. And it's one of the reasons why Nick Saban started to trend and now everybody else has analysts. You know, when you go and look at Penn State staff directory, which I just pulled up while I was talking here, you know, they have at least three analysts that kind of are able to watch a lot of film, break down every opponent, break down every play of every Penn State game, and so on and so forth, and get to the point where they're able to, you know, give Mike Yurcich or Brent Pry or James Franklin a very detailed and specific look at what these guys, you know, what's the best place for them to be on the field, what play is the best one to call at that time, etc. So, yeah, there are certainly an aspect to that as well.
And 2 points on this, Greg. I would think you're not going to worry about that, figuring out the numbers in the middle of the game. That's a discussion you had during the week,
right,
in preparation. On third down and long, in an important situation, we've been good at a screen pass, so that's what we're going to do. The second point, though, is your opponent has all the same data that you do.
Right.
So if you've been successful, you know, the last five times you had third and long, you threw a screen pass and you did it successfully, guess what? Your opponent's going to be looking for that too, right?
Correct, yes. And so, again, you know, that's where you get into the chess match of it all, and that it's, you know, it's as much a about the art of play design and trying to maybe trick your opponent into thinking you're going to do something that you're not going to do. And so, yeah, there's absolutely a part of it that relates to those tendencies and trends and things like that. But again, to your point, if you know them, the other team probably does too, because they have analysts sitting around waiting as well. So, you know, I do think that that is something to absolutely keep in mind.
There was, I think it, back in the Joe Paterno era, we used to, in going to the games, try predicting the next play call because it had been so predictable. I believe there was a game, Greg, where I was tracking it because it seemed every time they threw an incompletion on first down, second down would be a draw play.
Right.
I swear one time there was a game, they ran a draw play. I kept track of it. 10 times in a row where there was an incompletion on first down, second down was a draw play. So I think those days are, there's so much more data now. I think that kind of thing, you just don't see it anymore because everybody has the information. You can't become that predictable anymore. Great. All right, let's go with Joe in Scranton, who says, you guys have mentioned Dennis Sutton and Singleton as the most important recruits. With the very real possibility of getting neither, who now becomes the most important recruits left out there?
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know if I'm ready to get to the point where I'm saying that Penn State won't get either of these guys. I mean, I would be very surprised, Jim, if they didn't at least get one. And maybe they will end up getting two, but I think they're at least going to get one. So I don't know if I'm ready to go quite that far yet. But at the same time, you know, I would make note of the fact that if you're Penn State, you are looking for, you know, guys you can lock up. So obviously Tyler Johnson was one of them. And, you know, you obviously have a pretty good list of commitments already. But, you know, I'll throw Keenan Nelson out there as a possibility. Jaden Bellamy, Keon Sabb. You know, those are three guys I would definitely say it would be worth keeping a close eye on.
Let's see where we go from here. How about Larry in Chambersburg, who says, is Mike Yurcich going to install his system no matter what, or will he try to cater to the skills of Sean Clifford?
Well, I think he has to a little bit, right? I mean, he can't, you know, we saw Penn State try and mix match and not cater to Christian Hackenberg way back when, and that went horribly. So, yeah, I mean, I would say that if you're Mike Yurcich, you have to at least build a little bit of what you're doing around Sean Clifford. At the same time, Sean Clifford needs to be able to do a lot of what Mike Yurcich is asking him to do. You know, that's just a part of getting a new offensive coordinator. It's about a part of being a quarterback who can adapt at the college level. And look, I mean, if you're Penn State, you know, Sean Clifford is not that, you know, he's the guy that to me can fit into Mike Yurcich's offense and can work in that kind of a system. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. But of course, you know, Sean Clifford's going to have to probably do some things he hasn't done before. But Mike Yurcich might have to make some exceptions to his, you know, typical rules too, to get these everyone on the same page. So yeah, I think that Yurcich is going to put his system in. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, he might have to do some things a little bit different because Clifford's game either requires it or will make the offense better because of it.
A couple points here, Greg. I think there's always going to be a little bit of the coach catering to his quarterback and what he does well. That's just part of it. But it's not like you're running Navy's offense or Army's offense here, where it's that night and day. And the second part to this is we had on here Coach Nick Caduti he gave us a preview of Mike Yurcich's offense, and I specifically asked him this question about Sean Clifford and how he fits. He actually thought Clifford was a very good fit for what Yurcich does, and that some of the offense, for example, I believe one of Sean Clifford's weaknesses is when he gets into a game, reading the defense, constantly, you know, having to go to his second, third, or fourth option, and he maybe panics a bit.
Right.
Where with Yurcich's offense, it seems to be there's a pretty quick read. You read the one defender and make the call, make the decision there, and it's a quick decision, and it's a single decision, and that seems to be right up Sean Clifford's alley, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, how many times do we see him, Jim, kind of never really get to his third or fourth option, sometimes even a second option? So, yeah, if he just has to find the right guy open, and, you know, really, if he just has to find the one guy who the play is supposed to run through, then he could really thrive in this offense. And, you know, I don't know if you had a chance to read before we started, recording the show, but I saw that Eric Galco, who's the East-West scouting director and was recently at some kind of camp in Atlanta that a bunch of passers went to, had said that he feels like Sean Clifford improved this offseason based on what he saw. So, you know, obviously we need to see it on the field, right? So he's a third-year starting quarterback who people have a lot of questions about. So no matter who sees what during spring practice, during these off-season events, during even summer camp, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of people who are fairly skeptical until they get him on the field and he shows Penn State fans something. So, you know, that's going to be a theme of the summer, I think. It's just, you know, what will it take to you know, appease people that Sean Clifford actually has improved? And, you know, obviously I think it starts with a good performance and a victory at Wisconsin to start the year.
I was going to say he'll get an opportunity right away when they go to Wisconsin to play. Let's get to Steve from Painted Post, New York, who says, I was curious about any current info on what Journey Brown is currently doing and what his plans are.
Yeah, as far as I know, he's still kind of a student coach and helps with Jaylon Slater and the running backs, and I'm sure he has some other things as well. So, you know, I would imagine he's probably considering going into coaching. That would be my guess at this point in time, but we'll have to wait and see. I would assume that's the case, Jim, but I have not heard anything new as of late.
When a player has to retire like Journey Brown did, obviously it's a major blow to him. I mean, this was a guy who was looking at an NFL career, and that goes away. I would think at times it might be tough being around the football team, but if I recall correctly, everyone was very highly complimentary of him and what he was doing and helping out with the team. How exactly does that work out with a player in his situation? How much is he around the team? How much is he still like a member of the team, eats with the team, that kind of thing, Greg?
Yeah, I am assuming, Jim, it would be all of it. I mean, just because, you know, we saw, like, keep in mind, Jake Zembic was the same way, different medical / health issue, obviously, but Jake Zembic was seemingly around at everything, and as far as we could tell, Journey Brown was too. So, yeah, I don't think that just because he's not playing and he's on a medical scholarship, not a normal scholarship, you know, I don't think that he's any less a member of the team or any, you know, not at this event or that event or so on and so forth. I don't think that's the case. I think he's probably at everything.
And that's great that he's staying with the team. And wouldn't it be great if he sticks with football, is able to get a coaching career started? I think that would be great if that could happen that way, Greg. All right, that is it for quarter number three and Ask Greg. Stick around. In quarter number four, we have T. Frank Carr in. He's got a scouting report on Caden Saunders. Stick around for that. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley, and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking, as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed SmithWorks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, SmithWorks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in four Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out SmithWorksUSA.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 SmithWorks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.